We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is the home of the U. Miami's Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Welcome to Hurricanes Weekly, where we talk all things Canes every Sunday morning. Today's show is presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Miami's premier luxury dealership is Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Visit WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Now, the voice of the U, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our show, Hurricanes Weekly, and happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Sunday, March 17th, 2019. Our show brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac, where right now you can visit their state-of-the-art facility, which is conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street. Coming up on the show, we'll hear from Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga. We'll look ahead to see what's going to happen with University of Miami men's basketball. We'll also hear from Katie Meyer. Danny Rabinowitz will be along with a conversation he had with Katie Meyer. Tomorrow is Selection Monday. We'll find out all about the Hurricanes' postseason hopes. They will be in the NCAA tournament for a fourth straight year. Katie Meyer coming off a wonderful season. We'll have all that news for you. Also tomorrow, we'll be at the Rathskeller on campus for the women's watch party. So Katie Meyer coming up on the show. Also, this week begins spring football, and we'll hear from Hurricanes head coach Manny Diaz, a conversation that he had with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. Hurricanes baseball team concluding a three-game series against North Carolina, and then back home on March 19th and March 20th, Tuesday and Wednesday, Hurricanes will play Columbia in baseball. University of Miami basketball team ended the season at the ACC tournament, a winner on Tuesday against Wake Forest. However, on Wednesday, the Hurricanes were knocked out of the ACC tournament by Virginia Tech, concluding the season. So now it's on to the recruiting trail for Jim Larrañaga and his staff. What will they be looking for? What will they try to add to next year's team? Here is Coach L. Coach, we were talking about putting together your roster for next year, and you have some spots open. Do you look at the players that you want to come in, trying to match them with some of the skills of guys that are here? For example, you have Chris Likes. And last year you talked about a lot. You had great wing players in Brown and Lonnie Walker, and that allowed maybe a little more freedom for Chris. You have to look at the players you have here. I'm not just saying Chris or whoever, to see how it all blends together, or does it just talent override everything?
Well, it's both. And in fact, there's so many factors. One of the expressions that coaches use when evaluating is they ask themselves the question, is this kid high maintenance, low maintenance, or no maintenance? So what does the term mean? A DJ Vasiljevic is a no maintenance, highly disciplined, terrific student, works hard, always on time, does everything that you would ask a player to do without any hesitation. Most of our players are no maintenance. We have a few that are low maintenance. Low maintenance means that they might need some reminders about what to do and when to do it. For example, if you board a, you know, go to the airport to board a flight, you better have your picture ID. We know the guys that will forget their IDs, and when they arrive, they say, "Oh, I forgot that." So when you have guys like we have who are solid students, who are hard workers, who are self-disciplined, you know, you can build a very solid program. There are a lot of coaches that don't have that philosophy. They don't care if a kid is high maintenance. They just want the talent, the physical talent. They want great athletes, skilled players who just can ball once they get on the court. But the issues they might have with them off the court, the disciplinary problems, because maybe they're late, maybe they get themselves in trouble off the court or in the dormitory, in their apartment, in the community. Those guys are, for me, really hard to deal with, and so we avoid them at all costs. Second is, We want guys who fit well with each other. So, yes, we're looking at guys who will play well with Chris Likes, who will blend well with him, complement him, and that Chris will complement them. So Lonnie Walker and Bruce Brown were two guys that were ideally suited to play with a Chris Likes because they had size and length and athletic ability and skill so that Chris didn't have to do too much. DJ Vasiljevic is an absolutely terrific shooter and a very good basketball player, but he and Chris are both very small. So when we play against a guard that's 6'5 or 6'6, which one guards that guy? The matchups become more difficult. And in college basketball today, just like in the NBA, there's a lot of positionless basketball where you have to play like multiple positions. You're not just a point guard or a two guard. You got to be able to play the 1, 2, 3, or 4. And Anthony Lawrence is a prime example for us of a guy we utilize in so many different ways. But the bottom line is when you put together a team, you have to have guys who can really defend. You have to have at least several guys who can really rebound at both ends of the court now. You got to have guys who can really defense and rebound. You got to have maybe some other guys that can offense and rebound. But you got to have rebounders because rebounding is a key component with success. And then lastly, you have to have guys who can shoot and put the ball in the basket. Whether it's twos or threes, Buka Zundu can put the ball in the basket. Jump hook, rebound, score the ball, dunk the ball, catch a lob, throw it down. That's one way of scoring it. But then you have to have guys like Chris Likes who can hit threes, DJ who can hit threes, Anthony Lawrence who can drive. You have to have a combination of skills.
So your profile is more on the combination of skills. Some guys profile and say, well, I'm only going to take a guard that's 6'1", 6'2", and above, or power forward that's 6'9", and above. Your profile is just on those specific, on other skills.
Yeah, I would say Syracuse is the prime example of a coach, Jim Boeheim, who is the second winningest coach in college basketball history, and he has dedicated his program to the 2-3 zone defensively. He does not want smaller guards. He wants guys who are 6'5 and above playing at the 1 and 2. He wants guys 6'7 or 8 above playing at the forward spot, preferably closer to 6'10. And he wants a center who's 6'10 to 7, 2, or 3. And he's got it. He's got a lot of big guys, a lot of size throughout his lineup, including his own son, who really hurt us when we played them. On the other hand, there are our coaches, and I would say in Duke's case, they just want the best player. They don't care if it's Marvin Bagley, who's 6'10, or Zion Williamson, who's 6'7. They're both power forwards. They're both tremendous players. Both McDonald's All-Americans. They're both one-and-dones, first-round draft choices. And it's a super talented kid.
You've done this both ways. You've had experienced teams where you've used the graduate transfer and parked them and become a very older team. You've had one-and-done and two-and-done players. Going forward, it looks like it's almost going to be a combination where you now have some guys like Cam McGusty sitting out, Rodney Miller redshirting, but also still recruiting at a pretty high level.
If you look at our step-by-step process of building the program, some of it by plan, trying to execute the plan, some of it just almost by accident that we couldn't plan for, but it worked out well for us. So the first was transfer students. We've been very successful recruiting transfers. My staff and I, when we first got here, saw that a transfer like Kenny Kaji, Malcolm Grant, Trey McKinney-Jones were all going to be very, very successful players because they transferred in, sat out a year, got used to the program, got used to the ACC, and now were 21, 22 years old. They were older players, veteran players, and we could enjoy success with them. Then came along a transfer like Angel Rodriguez and Sheldon McClellan. So that when they became eligible, their junior and senior year, we have terrific seasons and end up in the Sweet 16. Why? Because those guys, 22 years old with a lot of experience and a lot of skill as well. Now we have a transfer like a Cam McGusty, who I think is going to be a tremendous help. We have Rodney Miller, who redshirted. We'll have DJ Vasiljevic, who's going to be a fourth-year guy. So all of a sudden now we're back being old. We're going to have four or five guys that are 22 years old or above. Rodney Miller is an example of a young man that went to prep school. So he was a year older in his freshman year. Now we redshirt him. Now he's 2 years older than the average senior. So it's very, very helpful to be older. But it's not that we only want transfers. We love recruiting high school players and helping them develop. Guys like Davon Reed, who came in, ranked 166 coming out of high school, and then end up a second-round draft choice and playing in the NBA for the Indiana Pacers. So you got to have young players that develop. You got to have older guys, however they get older, like they stay in the program for 4 years or they transfer in, sit out, now they're older to begin with. But we're in pretty good shape. We should be a much more competitive team next season if everything falls into place, but we still have some big holes to fill.
By the way, before we go for this segment, one more question, this segment, more of a comment. DJ, about 2 weeks ago, took his test for graduate school. International business and entrepreneurship is what he's going to continue to study. And he's bashfully said, yeah, I did okay. The truth is he crushed it. He killed the test.
Well, you know, DJ, as I told you, is a very self-sufficient individual. And he's a smart student. He's a smart basketball player. He's a smart individual. He makes a lot of good decisions. How about this, Joe? This blows my mind about DJ. He had a stress fracture in his foot. All of our doctors told him you need surgery to correct that. They got to put a pin in it in order for it to heal properly. He said no. He said, I want it to heal naturally, however long it takes. And they said, do you realize that it might not heal that way? And he listened to himself. He got himself in a cast or a boot, whatever the doctors recommended. And by the time school began, that foot was healed to the point that the doctors were saying, that's going to now be a new strategy, a new medical process. Instead of surgery, we're going to put the kid in a boot and have it on an angle where the stress fracture will heal. Mother Nature will take care of it. And DJ now has played every single game. He's averaging over 30 minutes a game, and that foot has never bothered him again.
That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. When we come back, we'll hear from Katie Meyer. The Hurricanes women's basketball team will be on their way to the NCAA tournament. We'll talk with Katie Meyer. That's next on Hurricanes Weekly on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
By Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC on the home of the U, Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
Happy to welcome you back to Hurricanes Weekly on this St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th, 2019. Our show brought to you by Williamson Cadillac, where you can experience the new generation of Cadillac, like the new 2019 Cadillac XT4 in stock and ready for delivery today. A great season for the University of Miami women's basketball team. Katie Meyer led the Hurricanes to a 24-8 season, 12-4 in the ACC in her 14th year at the University of Miami. Also, Amesa Hoff and Beatrice Mon-Premier were two first-team all-ACC players. Hurricanes had some great wins this season as well. Their share of pivotal wins as they defeated Marquette, Syracuse. They also defeated Notre Dame, the defending champs. That was 72-65 on February the 17th. And maybe their most impressive win at second-ranked Louisville, 79-73. And also a win over Florida State by a score of 64-54. So the Hurricanes will be on their way to the NCAA tournament. They'll find out their situation tomorrow. It is Selection Monday. The Hurricanes are optimistic that for the second time in program history, they will host the NCAA tournament at the Watsco Center. The games would be played either Friday and Sunday or Saturday and Monday. The watch party is tomorrow on campus at the Retzkeller, and we'll be there to find out where the University of Miami women's basketball team will be playing. It was a sensational regular season for the Hurricanes, and now they will be on to postseason play. And speaking of Katie Meyer, she sat down with our Hollywood, Danny Rabinowitz, and Katie Meyer.
All right, welcome back to Hurricane Hotline. Danny Rabinowitz along with you here this segment. And joining me is the head coach of the Hurricanes women's basketball team, Coach Katie Meyer. Katie, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Busy time, but happy to be on.
Coach, let's get right to it here. A 24-8 season for you guys. I mean, you have to feel incredible about what you've accomplished here. I know you came up short in the ACC tournament. We'll get to that in a second. But overall, 24-8, and we'll get to, again, some of the wins you guys have had this season, but 24-8, really a special season for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation where you knew you had a special team. I think we are a special team. I feel really good about our talent. But, you know, we've had a lot of close games that we've won, and we've had a lot of top 10 opponents, and it's just been a heck of a run. And, you know, I think we can play with anyone. I mean, that's one thing I can say, you know, no matter what the matchup is, if they're a three-point shooting team, we'll do our best to contain that. If they try to dominate inside, we do that. If they play off the bounce, I mean, we've seen a lot of different teams, and we've matched up well with every single one of them.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, you just go down your schedule, and it's nothing short of a gauntlet. And you obviously you play Syracuse in the ACC tournament quarterfinals. That's the first team you see out there. You know, how difficult has the schedule been this year for you guys?
Well, I'll tell you, I looked at the bracket, and I liked it. I liked our draw. We had beaten basically everyone in the bracket. The problem was that our march to the finals would have to have been through every single team that most likely we would play would have been hosting an NCAA game the next weekend, you know, next weekend. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Syracuse is going to be a top four or three seed. Then you would face Notre Dame, which would be a number one. If you were to beat them, you would have faced Louisville, which would have been a number one. So we're not talking about just an average old conference tournament. And I said this at the beginning of the year, that the path to the ACC finals could be harder than the path to the Final Four. And I said that in October, and I meant it, but I didn't realize that our gauntlet would be playing a top 16, a national top 16, and a 4-3. A 1-1 if we were to get there. So tough draw, you know. I mean, but that's what happens when you get to double bye, because all that's left are great teams.
How difficult is it, though, Coach, when you start to go around there for the second time and teams, I mean, at this point, there's so much film on you guys anyway. Everyone knows what you guys are going to try to do. But how difficult is it to play teams that you've already played? And is that something that you hope to avoid when you get to the ACC or the NCAA tournament, which I know is going to be impossible because a lot of these teams are going to get in. But is it tougher playing a team that you've already played? They kind of know what you want to do?
Yes and no. I don't think so. I think it was tough playing a team like Syracuse that set an ACC record for three-pointers made in that tournament game. I mean, and even that, even without that happening, Beatrice had a career high. Mace matched her career high. There's just a ton of talent on the basketball court, and we took the lead. You know, we were pretty much down for the count without answers going into halftime. I made some adjustments. I thought the kids played just a little bit harder on the defensive end. You know, there's a 4-inch difference between a guarded shot and a made shot, and we were settling a little bit, 4 inches away from the shooter. And if we took those 4 inches back, which we talked about at halftime, or they became human instead of superhuman, and I felt good about it. And then we took the lead and we grinded it out and we were very methodical. And then, honestly, it came down to, a player off the bench, you know, for us, Kelsey Marshall, three wide open threes, you know, and a player off their bench, Miranda Drummond, or she started, but she's been a bench player. And, you know, she had three wide open threes, but she makes all three of hers. Kelsey has great looks and we love it. And I love the shot. I support the shot. I endorse the shot. And that's the game, you know, besides the fact that you're all Americans, we're out there just doing their best. So, what a great basketball game, and it's going to come down to stuff like that, and we're prepared.
Head coach of the Hurricanes women's basketball team, Katie Meyer, our guest here on Hurricane Hotline. Coach, you are the only team in the country with two top four RPI wins. And again, you go through the schedule. I mean, you have a win over Louisville in there, a win over Notre Dame. You beat FSU, you beat Syracuse throughout the season. How difficult, you look at those two top four wins, Louisville and Notre Dame, how difficult is it for you guys to pull those upsets? You don't necessarily see those as much in the women's game.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing it a lot more now. I think what was great about those upsets is it wasn't shocking to us. I'm sure people that were just following the ticker or whatever, but even the coaches in the league, even, you know, just the when they saw what we had on paper and saw how we execute, and I think there's times where we are like a machine. I mean, we look very smart. People are choosing to play us in the zone a lot. I think our concepts are amazing. I think our players are just moving that ball and sharing that ball and finding great shots. I mean, even even at NC State, you know, my God, what a great game that was too. And that's another top, you know, top 10 opponent that we just almost beat. But I mean, so, you know, if we're 2-1 against top tens or 2-2, you know, I'll take it. You know, that's a heck of a win. And Marquette still might get up there, and that was a good win for us. So, you know, we're not just some fringe top 25 team. I think we're a solid team that should be hosting the tournament, and it wouldn't be fair for some other team who had a great season to face us too early. And that's kind of the way I look at it now. It's like, you know, we ought to be a top four seed because it would be unfair for some four to get us as a five. You know, that just wouldn't be fair. I think we're better than that.
Coach, this is the seventh NCAA tournament appearance in 8 years, including five in a row. You don't see that very often in college basketball. How difficult has that stretch been for people that may not understand how tough it is just to get into the tournament and to be able to maintain that level of success every single year? I'm guessing you attribute a lot of that to the rest of your staff as well.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Of course, my staff. But I also, you know, I hope that Miami, as long as I'm here, never realizes how difficult it is and just takes that for granted. I mean, that means I'm doing my job, you know. But there are times when you feel like, my God, you know, you look at some other teams, like let's say a Virginia Tech this season, and what a great squad they have, you know. And they lost about seven games that could have gone either way. You know, they're undefeated non-conference. They get to the ACC. They lose to us immediately. They lose an overtime game. They lose a double overtime game. They lose by three. They hit it. You know, I mean, just the things that just – this, it's just such a fine line, and yet they prove they can beat us. You know, we go up there, and we didn't play poorly. We didn't play our best, but we didn't play awful, and they played great. And, they you know, if they were in the NCAA tournament, if they do get in, I think they could win one or two games. They're that good. So, you know, you don't want to take it for granted. I don't want anyone to take this run for granted. I want it to be very, very appreciated. But my goal is to keep spoiling Miami.
Coach, how big of a deal is it to host, to have these two games in your gym and not have to go on the road? Is that a big deal?
Well, you know what? We'll see. I hope I have the opportunity to do that again. You know, we've earned the right about five times since I've been here, and ironically, the rules weren't the same then when we were three seed a couple times there and we were four seed. Well, you know, it's just, and then the 1 year we did get to host, we ran into a buzzsaw there, and it's going to happen. I mean, every team you play this time of year, and they've won 25 games too. You know, they're 24, 25 wins, or some of them have won 30, and they're from that smaller conference, and they haven't lost since, you know, November. So it's not, you know, you take any advantage you can get, but I think it's the last time we hosted here, I thought it was just a great event, you know, and I think our administration does such a great job, and my staff, not just my coaching staff, but my entire staff, you know, the trainers and the ticket office and the strength coach. I mean, all the things that are required upon you. But we put on a great event. I think we hosted well. Attendance was great, and it would be a great opportunity for Miami to sort of celebrate our team. So, you know, I'm anxiously waiting the results of the committee's votes here.
Coach Katie Myers, our guest here on Hurricane Hotline. Coach, you had a couple of players selected as all ACC academic team honorees. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, right. And that's something probably that it doesn't get overlooked, but when you get a bunch of awards like the all ACC and most improved and all that kind of stuff, you know, and then they go, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, all academic. I'm like, no, let's actually lead with that. So thank you. That's what we're trying to do here. Great, great, great human beings. And I know that anyone who's had the opportunity to just travel with my team or have, you know, share a meal with them on the road or anything, you know, anyone who's been in contact with these young ladies realize that I got the best job in the world because I get to be around these super people every day, and it's just a blessing.
Well, Coach, you got the NCAA tournament coming up. It's going to be really exciting. We certainly hope that you get an opportunity to host, but this has been just an incredible season for you guys. And again, you look at your roster, there's a lot of youth on there as well. So I think there's a lot of players on this team, Coach. We could be looking forward to coming back next year as well.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You know, there's some decisions to be made with a couple players, and, you know, they're great, great opportunities. And, we will see. Our recruiting class was phenomenal in early signing, and I believe we'll add one late here, and which will vault us pretty high. You know, I think there's going to be some great youth on the team, some great infusion of talent, and then we got a couple, you know, really special young ladies that have transferred in that haven't played this year. You know, and they're, you know, but I'm allowed to see them practice. You know, they're on the practice squad, and they're as competitive as you'll find, and they're going to bring our athleticism up a notch. So Yeah, things should be pretty good here for a couple of years, for sure.
NCAA selection Monday, just 1 week from today. Any special plans, Coach? You guys just all kind of get together and watch that thing?
Yeah, I think, you know what, we'll do a press release in a second. I think they're working on the details, so I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But heck yeah, we're going to gather, and I want all the fans and the friends and the families to come because, you know, it's I don't want it to seem – it's never old hat for me. I always put myself in the position of my freshmen and my seniors and say, heck yeah, we're going to celebrate and gather. This is not something that's easy. And, you know, it's first time, last time sort of deal for a couple people on my team. So let's blow it out. Let's have a blast.
Coach, we're all rooting for you, and I know a lot more work left to do here, and we wish you the best of luck in the NCAA tournament. We'll all be watching and rooting for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing what happens with the University of Miami women's basketball team in the postseason. When we come back, we'll hear from Hurricanes head football coach Manny Diaz as spring football gets underway this week. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac has been a part of Miami's unique community for over 50 years, and through those years, it's been their pleasure serving this community with the same essence that represents the people who live here, because Williamson is Miami. You can experience the new generation of Cadillac, like the new 2019 Cadillac Escalades, the XT5s, the CT6s, and the first ever 2019 Cadillac XT4 in stock and ready for delivery today. You can visit their state-of-the-art facility, conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or view their entire inventory online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami. Welcome back to Hurricanes Weekly. Sunday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Have a swell day and be careful out there. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2019. Our show is brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac has been a part of Miami's unique community for over 50 years. University of Miami spring practice kicks off on Tuesday, March 19th. 15 total sessions, 12 on-campus practices will be inside the Carroll Sofer indoor practice facility. In addition, there will be 3 scrimmages, 2 of which will be open to the public. All other practice sessions are closed to the public. Miami will have an open scrimmage on Saturday, April 13th at Traz Powell Stadium. That'll be at noon. And then the second open scrimmage will be at Camping World Stadium in Orlando on Saturday, April the 20th at noon. Admission is free to both of those events. April 20th, the Canes will wrap up spring football. Joe Rose and Zach Krantz talk with Manny Diaz about spring football.
It's a day late, a belated birthday song, but it's for our next guest, who's going to join us now on the Toilet of Hollywood Hotline. You might know him. You might know this guy a little bit down here. University of Miami Hurricanes head coach Manny Diaz, who's we're a day late on this.
We talking about social media, King?
Yes, yes.
That guy. Okay. Media,
but we are a day late. Happy belated birthday, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for the well wishes.
Hey, real quickly. So what do you? What's the family get Manny Diaz for his birthday? What do you get? It had to be a way. Did the wife and family do anything for you last night?
Yeah, we had a little dinner, had a good time, friends and family, and the neatest thing is because we're UM is in spring break this week, we actually get a little bit of time to reconnect, which is a cool thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to. We haven't talked to you for a while. Spring football next Tuesday. A lot of portal players are trying to figure who's in. Find out a lot of guys aren't going to be here until summer. How much does that change things when you're trying to figure out who's going to play against the Florida Gators with guys that are here for spring, who get an early jump, and then counting on a lot of those guys, Coach, to come in and help you win games?
Well, you don't even worry about that for now. Right now, you just look at the guys you got on your campus and try and get them as good as they can be, you know, and that's really what spring ball is all about, you know, just you know, find out what you got, get every player, you know, sort of as, you know, try to maximize the talent that's on your campus. And then, you know, and then whether we've had transfers or whether it's been incoming freshmen, you always have a chance. And, you know, with meetings and whatnot in June, July, to get the guys up to speed. And then when you go back into training camp in August, you really do the same thing. And then, you know, then a couple weeks out, you really find out who the lineup is that you got to go play with.
Coach, how frustrating is it? And we had the athletic director on the other day also, and I asked this question.
He even seemed a little frustrated.
And he was frustrated, too, yeah. And I can only imagine as the head coach you are, too, with the – and I know you might want to comment on the NCAA, but the Tate Martell situation and just trying to find out some sort of answer. This has got to be a frustrating thing for you when you're trying to put everything together now, a couple days out of spring, just to figure out – and especially one of the most important positions, the quarterback position, but how frustrating it is for you and the staff not knowing what's going to go on with Tate.
You know, but we don't really address it very much. I mean, it's at, number one, it's outside of our control. And two, you know, we don't play a game in a week or so. So it really doesn't matter. Again, we're going to find out what we have on our campus, you know, try to get our guys at every position, but certainly the quarterback position, you know, will be a very high profile battle. But let's find out what we got. Let's get everybody, you know, everybody's learning a new offense, learning a new way about going about things. Really, regardless, you know, next Tuesday we'll be out there and see what the guys can handle and see what we got.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, because you know that's going to be the question like a year ago, how are you going to treat this quarterback situation for spring? I mean, somebody's got to take the first snap. Somebody's got to take the last one. Coach, how are you going to treat it? What's the game plan?
Well, what we're doing at every position is, you know, who takes any snap is going to basically have everything to do with what you've done since we reported back in January. And that's it, whether we're talking about the free safety or the quarterback or the left tackle. So
okay.
We wanted all of our guys to come back and again have, you know, no status, like they had to earn everything. And so that could be a combination of our off-season program. That could be a combination of performance on campus academically. And that's where everything will begin day one. We're not interested in setting a depth chart the first day, and I know that sounds at times like coach speak, but really it doesn't matter.
Okay,
we'll be rolling different guys through different units at all the positions, and you know the big thing will be always to, you know, the urge will always be to overreact. You know, oh wow, like this guy did a good one day. You know, and this is a long haul. Everyone is learning a new way about going about things, and that is no more true than at the quarterback position and on offense. And we don't play until August 24th, so we don't have to, you know, we don't have to decide on March 24th really where we're at, because the guys will continue to grow and get better and learn the way that Coach Enos wants to do things.
Coach, how much different, like, what's a different mindset for you now going into this spring, considering it's the first one as head coach? Like, it's not just about the defense, it's not just about this, it's everything in general for you. What's the mindset for you now going into a couple days away from your first spring as head coach?
Yeah, I think what you have to do is just the way you attacked it when you were in charge of half the team, now you basically have to just expand that to the entire roster. And to me, the key is when you go into spring is to have very clear objectives of what you're trying to accomplish, have the team be aware of those objectives. And that's something that we'd always try to do defensively, and now you're really just expanding that to the whole roster. You know, I'm just concerned on where I'm going to stand. And I just got to make sure I don't clap too hard when we bat down a pass or something like that. I have to remember that I always laugh, you know, when you have spring scrimmages or whatnot open to the public, and you know, we used to always joke on defense, you know, the fans would only cheer when the offense did something, even though those were obviously the, you know, the Miami Hurricanes on the other side of the ball too. So that's just always kind of the funny thing about, you know, spring practice, you know, is that anytime someone does well, it's usually at the expense of somebody else. So as a head coach, you just want to see great. You want to see everyone, you know, functioning the way that the scheme is meant to function, and more than anything, right now, just playing with great effort, great passion, and great toughness.
So, Manny, help me out on this one. I'm trying to get a vision on this one. Blake James comes to you and says, "Hey, man, I need to talk to you. How do you feel about this Gators game moving it up a week in Orlando? TV wants to do it. We're going to get it with the NCAA. How do you feel about it? What was your answer right away? What were you thinking?"
Well, you know, it's something that we talked about. Look, you know, it's a great rivalry game. And everyone knows that this is year 150 for college football.
Right.
And what a great way to start it by having, the Miami Hurricanes basically open the curtain on the 2019 season. So, you know, we felt like it was a great deal of exposure. This is going to be a big game whenever we play it. We could play it Wednesday night at midnight. It's going to be a big game anytime Miami and Florida get together. So, there's no sense in hiding from it. You know, whenever they wanted to have us play, we were all good with that. But the chance to showcase, and we want recruits to want to come to Miami to play in games like this and situations like this where you are the big show in town.
Head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, Manny Diaz, joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. All right, back. I just want to go back to the team for a quick second. I know that you have pro day coming up, and you got, you know, six guys, former players now looking to go pro and get drafted. Your safety position right now on the team, I know you got two guys that are hopefully going to be drafted at that safety position. Bolden, I know, is going to be coming in at a certain point. How are you feeling at that safety position right now on that defense? I hate to go right to the defense knowing you're the defensive guy, but that's where I want to start with you right now. What's that safety position your eyes look like right now?
Well, you're right. We did lose two really good players. But, you know, we kind of went through this a couple years ago when after 2016, when Rayshon Jenkins and Jamal Carter left. And those are two really good players that are playing on Sundays right now. And Efren Bonda did a great job of, you know, we had Red Wine that had moved the corner, and Jaquan Johnson that really became, you know, in my mind, as good of any safety in the country. And so that's just what happens. You know, we feel really good about the guys that we've been developing in our program that are coming up behind those guys, and whether that's Amari Carter or Gervin Hall or Derek Smith, there's all kinds of guys that can factor in at safety. Robert Knowles. It's the same thing. What we will do is we'll have a competition. We measure everything. Everything is graded. Everything is scored. And we've got some exciting guys coming in as well. And we'll find out who our best guys are. And what we're really hoping for is we're hoping for more than two starters. We're hoping for maybe three or four different guys that we feel like are starting quality, and that's where we can start to be creative with how we get, you know, our best players on the field.
Manny, this can be cool. You're going to have five guys on your defense from last year get drafted, a couple of safeties, a corner, defensive tackle, and a defensive end. You're going to play a big part of it because NFL is going to be asking you questions about everybody. Everybody wants to make sure with the amount of money and signing bonuses and everything else. How much time have you spent on that, talking to teams, or have you gotten calls about all these guys?
Yeah, you have different contacts throughout the league, you know, that'll want to know what they – and this has been going on. I mean, the NFL, they do their homework. This has been going on throughout the years where, you know, scouts have been coming – they'll come through during the season and they want to know what they can't find out on film. And it's no different than what we're trying to do in recruiting, you know.
Right.
They can find out whether they think the guy can play, but it's, you know, what they're trying to figure out is where, you know. And that's something we've really have taken pride in, how we train our guys. We want to train them as students of the game, and it's important to us. We want them, as much as it's important when they run the 40 or do the broad jump, you know, we take a lot of pride in what our guys do when they go in the classroom. And they, you know, they give the players a marker, and they say, hey, get on the board and draw a cover to draw this and draw that. And we want our guys to be elite in that category. And then we heard great things about how our guys performed up in Indy. So we're as proud of that as coaches that we are about, you know, whether, you know, how they catch a ball and do all that type of stuff.
All right, speaking about coaches for a second, I think I speak for Joe here on this one also. Next time there's a coaches clinic that you and the guys are going to, any chance we could just get on the bus and hang out with you for a little while before we go and we crash any coaches camp or anything like that? I think me and Joe would be perfect guys to have just with you just in case, and I just want to put our names in the hat next time you do go on one of these road trips.
It may be a little harder to keep a secret next time.
How'd that go over, Manny? Did that go over real big with everybody? How'd that go over? That's a pretty funny story, by the way. That's funny.
The deal in Orlando?
Yeah, yes. The Nike coaches camp. How'd that go over?
Well, listen, there's, you know, the story that came out on the internet. Like, we're talking about the internet, right?
So, of course, yes.
For every five statements, on average, you know, two to three of the five were true. The two to three that were not true of the five just added to the legend.
Mm-hmm.
But look, here's the reality is that, you know, we know that we have to do better recruiting than what we've done. And a key to that is to form great relationships with the high school coaches. That's a big clinic in the state of Florida where the majority of the high school coaches from the state go. And,
right.
And the University of Miami had not been there over the past few years. And we wanted to go and to be able to show the coaches that we were for them, and that we, you know, that we felt like, you know, winning at home and recruiting was something that was very important to us. And like I said, that was really what it was about. I think some of the legend that came out of that is sort of internet lore, and it can sort of stay as internet lore. But I think the most important thing was just to be intentional about our efforts of really, you know, winning at home and recruiting.
I think you made your point, Coach.
Man, it was very Canish. Yeah. So whatever the story, let's just go the other way, because it always sounded like we're here, forget you. So I like that one better, Coach. So I like what you're trying to say. Speaking of that, so you take your guys down, and we had a chance to talk to Jimmy Johnson, who, like, thought that was so cool that you wanted to come down with your coaching staff and do that whole thing. So what do you get out of that when you go down with all your guys and you spend time with Jimmy Johnson? What did you and your guys get out of that?
Oh, I mean, we could talk for an hour on what we got out of that. It got to the point where I pulled my phone out. I was taking notes on my notes app, and I had to tell Coach Johnson, I'm like, I'm not texting somebody. I'm literally writing down what you're saying because I didn't want to forget. Because it was like, you know, going up one of those mountains to find, the guru master, going to see Yoda in the cave, you know, and you're just,
yeah.
And he was so great. And he was, and the thing that just stood out with Coach Johnson was, just his detail and his storytelling. I mean, he's telling you about, you know, his third string defensive tackle from 1988, and just, you know, as if it was yesterday. It was remarkable. But so we picked up a lot of it, you know, and a lot of it, the part that where he, there was a couple of things where he really changed the game, but, you know, the player evaluation and the things that he really looked for in terms of, you know, finding a player, which things have stood the test of time. Stuff like that, you know, you take away and you say, wow, I mean, that's something that we really, you know, you want to turn that into policy.
You know, what's amazing, man. Now we talked to Jimmy for a while and like, it meant a lot to him. Like I was kind of like, here they come, these bunch of but he was all jacked up, man. He's all in on the U, as you know, but he thought that was pretty cool that, hey, you got some time. I'd like to come down with my whole staff. And it meant a lot. And then we talked to him off the air, too, a little bit about it. He was really pumped up after all these years and everything he's done. Thought that was pretty cool, man. And I wanted you to know that, man. I thought that was really cool.
How about Terry Bradshaw doing the scouting for Jimmy Johnson on that when he says, oh, the old Louisiana Tech guy, my man Manny Diaz. That had to be cool, too, when he told that story to you, that they used to watch and they would scout or whatever it was just because Terry loved Louisiana Tech.
You know, we tell our players all the time, you never know when you're being evaluated. Yeah. Even like we were mentioning with Pro Day, they think this is their big evaluation, like they got to do great on Pro Day. They've been getting evaluated every day since they stepped foot on UM's campus. They're getting evaluated every day on social media. We are always being evaluated. And, you wouldn't have thought that when you're sitting there in Ruston, Louisiana, Jimmy Johnson is watching your defense play. But guess what? That's exactly what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Crazy, crazy stuff. Manny, it's always great having you, man, and appreciate you finding time for us today with everything going on. And by the way, you guys in the middle of recruiting right now as well, active recruiting, or where's that stand right now for next year?
Well, you're always
it never stops, does it?
Recruiting never ends, but we're in a what is called a quiet period where the prospects can come visit your campus, and they'll of course be visiting us when we're in spring practice time. But you cannot go out into the schools. We'll reenter a re-evaluation period the second half of April into May, where we can go visit schools and watch spring practice.
I'd be bad at you. I can never be an assistant coach for you,
Coach. I know you might like Joe, but if you ever bring him on staff, it's going to be compliance, compliance, compliance. Yeah. Be careful.
It'd be bad, man. You wouldn't want that.
No.
Anyway,
burn down the whole castle.
That's it. Manny, thank you. Thanks so much.
Bye. Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Manny Diaz, University of Miami.
Thank you so much to Manny Diaz and Joe Rose and Zach Krantz for their conversation on Hurricane Spring Football. Baseball this week at home on March 19th and 20th against Columbia. And then on the weekend, a three-game series against North Carolina State, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, March 22nd, 7 o'clock. Saturday, March 23rd, 7 o'clock. Sunday, March 24th. Afternoon affair, the third game of the series at 1 o'clock, first pitch. Also, University of Miami women's basketball team perhaps will be hosting the NCAA tournament on campus. We'll find out tomorrow. We'll be on campus with the Hurricane Hotline between 6 and 8 p.m. Thanks to Katie Meyer, Jim Larinaga, and Manny Diaz. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on Hurricanes Weekly on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.